for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, February the 16th, 2014. Jean Fisher is the speaker of this service, teaching on transference of spirits.
There is peace and contentment in the Father's house today. Lots of food on the table, and no one is turned away. There is singing and laughter as the hours pass by, but a hush comes a singing as the Father sadly cries.
Sister Jean, and Kevin said, you take your time. Do not be rushed. Those that are here for this meeting are here because they want to be here. They could have hit the road, but they're here.
Good morning. I told Linda I was so grateful they arranged for this beautiful weather for us. They thought of everything. I got up this morning, and it was like you walked outside and you just wanted to sing. I want to give a testimony. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to share or anything, but this is a dangerous place, and God snuck up on me this time. Like, I didn't see that coming. But some time ago, I lost the diamond out of my wedding ring. I didn't even know it. We were just sitting there, and my husband looked down because your diamond's gone. You know that feeling? Oh. And we looked through the vacuum cleaner bags. I mean, we did it all. And it was just gone. And I remembered took me a while, but I remembered a few days later that some time ago, my mother-in-law had given me a pendant that had a diamond in it. And she said it was from a previous marriage, and she thought one day down the road I could do something I wanted to do with it. So I had stuck it away for some time, completely forgotten about it. And I said, well, Bo, I have a diamond. So we took the diamond, we took it to the jewelry store, and he said, well, this one's bigger than your other one. And he goes, this is a very nice diamond. And I walked away, and it's like the Lord said, I saw this and provided for it beforehand, and I upgraded you. And you know, it's funny because I feel upgraded. It was a spiritual thing. He's doing so. It was like a prophetic thing. And so, like some of the things that I walked through today, it was like he saw it all in advance. And I just feel like I'm upgraded, y'all. I'm kind of excited about that, too. I loved your testimony about the serving. I remember when I was a brand new Christian, I was asked to keep the kids, and it was like, no, please. You know, it was. But I remember this experience I had. I was sitting there, and I was putting socks on this little kid, and it was one of those supernatural things where all of a sudden I realized it was Jesus putting the socks on. And it was like Jesus said, if you want me to move through you, put yourself where I would be. And so that's, you know, sometimes when you really want to know Jesus, you have to go low because that's where he would be. And so I've always remembered that lesson. Well, I really don't have a lot to share, so I'll talk slow. These women, it says, I'm going to have to, you know, cut my message off. I'm thinking, I wish I had that problem. Oh. I mean, I can just prepare and prepare and prepare to get it done in 10 minutes. I just... But I know we're all tired, so maybe that's okay. But I do have a few things I really want to leave you with as you leave here. Okay, some important things. Did y'all get some deliverance this weekend? Okay. Well, I want to talk. How many people here have heard a sermon or a talk or a teaching on the transference of spirits? How many have not? Okay. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about it, and then I wanted to leave you with a couple of things to walk away with. Let's start with an example of the transference of spirits so I can kind of show you what it's like in Mark 15, verse 6. Now, this is after Jesus has been arrested, and Pilate's got him. Pilate's a very conflicted man. He knows he's innocent, but he's got to play politics. So he's reasoning with the Jewish people about Jesus because he really wants to release him. And this is what happened at one incident. Talking about Pilate, it says, now at the feast he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they ask. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? There was evidently a tradition that every Passover, one of the Jewish prisoners could be released upon the request of the Jewish leaders. So he comes out and he says, do you want me to release to you Jesus? Because he knows Jesus to be an innocent man. And it says, for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. No real legal reason. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And in another scripture after this, the crowd starts yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Now some of the same people in this crowd had been there just a few days earlier when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just a few days earlier, they had been throwing their cloaks before him and saying, Hosanna, King of the Jews. Hosanna, what? Son of David, Hosanna, Son of David, King of the Jews. They were recognizing him as Messiah, throwing their cloaks before him. And now they're yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Now it says the chief priest stirred up the crowd. And the chief priest would have a lot of authority. Because in the Jewish culture, they really reverenced these men and submitted to their authority. But to go from adoring this man to a murderous crowd is more than just human persuasion. There's more at work here than the chief priest's ability to stir them up. Now, I want to show you that this is not the only incident that this has happened. I want you to look at Acts 14 and verse 8. This happened to Paul, something very similar. It says, "Now at Lystra there was a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and never walked. He listened to Paul speaking, and Paul said in a loud voice, 'Stand upright on your feet.' And he sprang up and began walking." Well, this got the attention of the Gentile people that were there. They'd never seen anything like this before. But they had no context for it being a Gentile people without any knowledge of the true God. So that when this happened, they started saying, "The gods have come down, the gods have come down." And they wanted to, when you read the passage, they wanted to actually sacrifice animals to worship Paul. And they started calling him Hermes. And it was all Paul could do to keep these people from sacrificing to him. He could cry out, "I'm a man just like you. I'm a man. Don't do this. Don't do this." And begin to point them to God. But then just a few sentences later, it says this. It says, "Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the people from offering sacrifices to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead." How dramatic is that? You go from wanting to sacrifice him as gods to stoning him to death. So there's something more than just the natural persuasion here. There was some spirit on those Jewish people of envy, of hatred, that turned these crowds into murderous mobs. There's many, many examples in scriptures. I'll leave you just with one because it's so clear. But in Deuteronomy 20, it talks about when the Israelites are mustering an army, there were certain things that they would qualify. If the man had just been married, he wouldn't serve. If this, if that. And one of the qualifiers is this. It says, "Is there any man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own." See, God was recognizing this danger of the spirit of fear transferring onto the other men. So they were separating them out. You know, just like disease, you've been in an elevator before and someone sneezes, it's like, oh. You know? It transfers through the air. And you all have felt this before. You've walked into a situation where there's been a conflict, and even though all conflict has died down and there's no physical evidence to your eyes, you feel it. When you walk in the room, you feel the tension. Recently, I visited a friend in the hospital. She'd had her gallbladder removed. And I walked in, and there was such a heaviness in that room. I was so worried about her. And she goes, "Oh, no. They had run out of beds and put me in the cancer ward." I didn't know that. I felt it, though. You just can sense it. It's not something you can see. It's something you feel. It's an atmosphere. Some people carry it. Have you ever noticed there's some people that you're just uncomfortable around? Sometimes it's because you're picking something up. Like a person you can't be yourself around. Well, sometimes it's just intimidation in you God's working on. But other times you may be picking up a spirit of intimidation on the person. You can't see it. You feel it. But you're feeling something very real. You're feeling what is in control of the room at the time. Yeah. And the problem with that is what God wants to be in control is you, the Spirit of God within you. You know, this is something that we have to grow in discernment about, because a lot of you are going to walk back into spiritual atmospheres. And if they're familiar to you, you may just think it's you. And you may not know the deliverance you've gotten. So it's very important that you walk in discernment. You know, the scripture says this in an interesting way. In 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. The other, a fragrance from life to life." You know, a fragrance spreads in the same way a disease does, through the air. Molecules spreading through the air. And Jesus says we have a fragrance. We have a spiritual atmosphere about us. And when you carry the Spirit of God, people can sense it, whether they know it or not. And some people will be attracted to it, and some people will be repelled to it. You know, that's the way flowers are. You know, the same scent one flower gives out will attract insects to pollinate it and will repel other insects that would be predators. And it's the same type of thing. In fact, I saw an article recently that says you smell angry. And it's somebody, an unsaved person, picking up on this. Picking up on the fact that you can just... What is it about you? You stink. I was going to say that. You stink, you know that? To some people, you stink bad. To others, you stink good. If we choose to follow Christ, we become the aroma of Christ. And what he's saying to us is he wants us to spread the fragrance where we go. And I think the church, for a long time, has walked in awareness of the transference of spirits, but has been more concerned about the world not transferring on us, which is so important. Understand me. But we've been less concerned about transferring us on the world. And we have to be concerned, because if we let the world transfer on us, we are not going to transfer God on anyone else. We have to be very concerned with that. But we have to be mission-minded with what God has given us. You know, God set us on this earth to rule and to reign over this earth, and not to be ruled and reigned over. And, you know, when Jesus touched a leper, or when a woman with an issue of blood touched him, which she was not permitted to do because she was unclean, and they received healing, he was making a clear statement that the power in me is greater than the power of sin and death. You know, the Old Testament is all about how contagious sin is. Sin is very contagious. But the New Testament is all about how contagious you are when you carry the power of God. And let me tell you how much this world needs you. You know, listening to Carla last night talk about how many different kinds of relationships we can have. It was like, oh my God. You know, does this world need us? It's God's will that we bring this earth under subjection to his kingdom everywhere we go. Every one of us has a realm of influence. Every one of us has an assignment from the Lord. Some of us have larger ones than others, but some of the smaller ones are the most important. For instance, if it's just your family, there is nothing more important than that. True. You know, raising up godly young men like my friend Kelly is, and in your family. Some of us have larger realms of influence. But let me tell you, we need to understand that influence is exactly what we have as Christians, and we need to use it. I was driving down the road, and I was flipping through the radio, and I got someplace where I had to stop flipping, and it rested on a hip-hop station. And I started listening. I was just shocked. I was shocked because of how explicit it was sexually. But you know what else really, really caught my attention? I listened for a while because of the talent. Whoever had written the song knew how to use words to create emotions and feelings. I mean, very gifted with words, knew what they were doing, was using a gift God had given them for a very ungodly purpose, but they were still using the gifts God had given them. And I started thinking about the talent and the gifting, and what about the body of Christ? You know, Jesus said, if I can find this quote, I can't find this quote, because I'm out of order, because I just started talking. Anyhow, he said, the children of this world are more wise in dealing with their generation than the children of God are. And that's what it made me think of. You know, this world is wise in knowing how to use their influence to bring about in people a certain mindset, a certain culture, a certain way of wanting to be. I mean, we've all been in movies where the movie maker was so gifted that they were able to tell a story in such a way as to make you feel things. Or books that you've read that walked away and had shifted the whole way you think.
Yeah.
And we as a church have left these centers of influence to the world. And we wonder why the culture is the way it is. And what I want to urge you to do is to fight back. God has gifted us. He's put gifts in all of you and talents yes. that He wants you to use for His glory.
Amen.
So that we can influence the generations rather than this world.
Amen.
We've
Amen.
Just left them, and it's like we've just clumped up in church yeah. with each other.
Yeah.
We've just clumped up where it's safe. And we have to go out there, folks. And we have to go out there with wisdom. You know, it's about discernment. I want to talk about discernment for a little bit. I'd love to talk about discernment a little bit. Okay. Just don't go out of order. If y'all ever teach, just stay in order and everything just goes fine. But it's all about discernment. You know, Jesus knew this. Here we go. In Hebrews 4, the writer of Hebrews, which is disputed, says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracle of God. He's expressing his frustration with these people who are not growing up. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. All right, you see the importance he puts on being skilled in the word. Okay? Since he is a child, but solid food is for the mature. And this is his definition of mature. He says, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good for evil. I want to challenge you right now. The time for being dull is over. And he describes discernment almost like a muscle that can be exercised. It's a commodity that you can gain as you practice it. And discernment is basically the ability to be aware of what's going on in the spiritual realm. I want to read this proverb to you. It's from Proverbs 2. He says, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. God has treasures of discernment, of wisdom for us. But it's like I read once, I think it was Amy Carmichael who said, the keys of the kingdom of heaven will not be turned by careless hands. He doesn't hide these things for the good. He hides those things for those who will value them. These are for those people who will value them. And it's time for the Church of Christ to value the wisdom and the discernment that we need to influence this age. And quit being children who don't have to walk in that because you stay someplace where it's safe for you. God wants you to grow up, to learn to discern. Without discernment, you can't walk in the world. You know, for instance, if you were in the airport and you wanted a Coke, and the only place you could find to get a Coke was one of those really dark, creepy bars. You know, some of the bars where they don't cut the lights on and people hide in the shadows and they're creepy. Okay?
Yeah.
Some bars are not like that, you know. They're just, but some are creepy. I went one by accident like that. We were selling tamales, and I thought, I'm just going to go in this bar and sell my tamales for my youth group. I'm going to go, anybody want to support my youth group? I walked in, it was dark and creepy, and I walked right back out. So I wasn't expecting that, you know. It was like these people waved. This one guy got in my face and started going back and forth, and I said, okay, that was a great idea. But we don't need to be afraid of those places if we walk in discernment, understanding who God is in us. But if you were to walk in a bar like that and not, you could walk out with some things you didn't walk in with. So you have to walk in discernment. You have to walk aware of the God within you. And then you can go fearlessly. Because God said everywhere you step your foot is yours. And we have to realize that everywhere we step our foot is God's. Or we can't reach sinners. We can't reach the lost because we'll clump up where it's safe. Cry out for this. Why is it? It really frustrated me listening to that song. It really frustrated me. I was thinking, why is it that those people are so gifted? If I could write something that good that would make people that could touch people like that, that could form pictures in people's heads like that. The things, you know, why is it that the world's doing that and perverting people's minds and corrupting their souls to the filthiness? Why is that? Where is the church using those gifts to create beauty and light,
yes,
and purity in people's minds? We've got to use our gifts and forward the kingdom of God, or this generation will just think that we're those people over there. Cry out for discernment. Cry out for wisdom. Discernment is so important, because if we don't discern, we can come into agreement with things that we don't need to come in agreement with. Sure. I can think of 3 times since I walked on this ground that I've heard the voice of the enemy so far. 3 distinct times. And if I hadn't caught it, I promise you I might have just agreed with it. This is what happened to Peter. We know the famous story. You know, he tells Jesus. Jesus is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem. The men are going to crucify me. I'm going to rise in 3 days. And you know the story. Peter says, forbid it, Lord. This should not happen to you. And the famous rebuke, get behind me, Satan. You know, Satan was using flesh and blood to discourage Jesus from going to the cross. There's always voices speaking to us, and we must be careful which voices we come into agreement. Peter, now, he was a baby Christian, if you want to even call him that. I'm not even sure he was born again, but let's just say he just started walking with Jesus. His mind was not renewed, okay? He came into agreement with the wrong voice, and it got him a strong rebuke. We have to be very, very careful on what we're picking up in the atmospheres that we go, or we'll start picking up and coming into agreement with things that are simply not true. And this is especially important as you go back into familiar atmospheres. This happened to me. You know, the Lord has done so much healing with me and my family that I kind of let my guard down. And in some ways that's good, because my guard, the weapons of my warfare were carnal for a long time. And so, you know, God had to disassemble a lot of those. And so it's good, but now the Lord's saying you still need to walk in wisdom, because you're walking back into unfamiliar territory. And the last time I went, I was taking my mother. She had to get a procedure done, and I was taking her in the morning. And I was like, there was something not right with me. I backed into the car behind me. It was just a little fender bender. I mean, I was just doing all these things, and I couldn't figure it out. And I called my husband. I said, "Would you pray with me?" And I realized it was an old familiar feeling that I had inadvertently walked into. As soon as I saw it, it's like, and everything was fine. But it was an old way that I used to feel around my mom. That wasn't even true anymore, but it was just an old familiar thing just waiting for me, because my guard was down. If we don't have our spiritual guard up, we will put up a carnal guard to the world. We will put up walls that don't belong there. We'll put up self-protection. We'll put up judgment saying, you know, I can't be around you. We have to have godly discernment so that we can walk in such a way as God can use us in any situation that we go on. And if we don't first discern what's going on around us spiritually and then walk in our authority over it, we can't be the salt and light that God has called us to be. We can't be a city set upon a hill. He didn't call us to sequester ourselves away from the world. He called us to walk with discernment in this world and change it.
Yes.
We need to get off of the defensive and on to the offensive. I remember years ago a preacher came and taught in my church, and he told this story. He said, I was looking out my window and there was this squirrel trying to cross the telephone line, and this jay kept attacking it, and it couldn't get across the telephone line. He goes, how many of you felt that way? And everybody goes, oh. He goes, you felt like the jay or like the squirrel? Because I feel like the jay. And we're all kind of caught, like we all felt like the squirrel. This time we became the jay and not the squirrel, folks. You ever notice that we bind much more than we loose? The first thing you need to do is what? You need to be aware of your own spiritual state. Because your spiritual state should be one of peace, order, cleanness. And if there's something not right, you need to deal with it.
That's
Sometimes you need to repent. Sometimes you need self-deliverance. Sometimes you need to do what David did, encourage yourself in the Lord, speak to your soul and just say, just quit it. Just stop it. I have to do that to myself. Sometimes I'll start, you know, thinking I have this feeling and I have this feeling. And you want something to come and change your feelings? And the Lord will say, just stop it. Just, you know, speak to your own soul. Stop it. That's not the way God called me to feel. That's not what Jesus died for me on the cross. That's not why I've had years of deliverance. Just stop it. But you need to be in touch with your own spirit, and you need to deal with whatever's in your spirit. Because if you're under the influence of a discouragement, if you're under the influence of a fear, if you're under the influence of an intimidation, then you're not going to be able to transfer a godly spirit where you go. I have a friend who works in an office. Oh my gosh, I'm so glad I don't work in an office. How many of you work in offices? Is that fun?
No.
I used to. Oh my gosh, the stuff that went on. It was great growing. Great growing. I have a friend who's a legal secretary and works in an office, and she said, you know, there's one woman there who's very intimidating. And she said, you know, for years I've sat back at my desk, and she says, I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, I have authority over that in her. And I'm not going to sit at my desk anymore. You know, it's so important that we realize that, because if you don't, then the Spirit's going to rule your atmosphere. And I mean, and sometimes people can think it's them. You go into an office and there's gossip going on. And all of a sudden you're tempted to say something you shouldn't. Or to listen to something you shouldn't listen to. And you think, oh my gosh, you know, and you start. But what you're doing is you're coming under the influence of something. And if you take authority over it somewhere, that spirit lives in one of those people as a stronghold.
Wow.
And if you take authority over it, then that person has a chance, maybe, to come under conviction. But if she is ruling the roost, that's not going to happen. So you have to do what my pastor used to say. You need to read your spirit. Get up in the morning, read your spirit. Deal with it when you walk out, so that the Spirit of God can be on you and not all the other stuff. You need to recognize that. You need to recognize that you are subject. You need to realize that whatever's working on you, is you're not subject to it. It is subject to you. Okay? You don't need to reason with it. You don't need a good reason for it not to be there. You have authority. You don't need to try and figure out how to fix it. Get it under your feet. Command it off of you. Bind it in the environment or off the person responsible for it. But then loose the opposite. See, what's important is not that we keep ourselves all pristine and clean. We have to do that as the first step. But then we have to go and take this world for Christ. You know, we do a treasure hunt at my church. A treasure hunt's a lot of fun. We get together, we pray for clues. God gives us clues, and we go out and find the person God is leading us to. And it's just a lot of fun, because it's a lesson for us in how to hear the Lord. But what's really cool is when you walk up to a non-believer and you say, ma'am, my church is on a treasure hunt. And they go, yeah. And we get these clues, and they lead us to people. And the clue that we got is to lead us to the store to someone who's wearing a leopard skin shirt and has glasses and highlights. And they always go, that's me. And we say, yes, ma'am, you're God's treasure. Really? And they're just wide open. And then you can minister anything you want. Yeah. And it's just a lot of fun, because you walk in and you shift the atmosphere. All of a sudden you bring God into it in a way that doesn't put them on the defensive, right? And makes them think. Now, sometimes after that, it can get, you know. We used to do a ministry that we would take the Ten Commandments and we'd say, have you broken one of these commandments? That was our ministry. And I'll never forget, I woke this man up. And he goes, are you telling me you got me out of bed to tell me I'm a liar? Very meekly, yes, sir. He goes, oh. We've tried every type of evangelism there is. We prayed for the sick. I mean, we've tried it all. It's all good. You know, it's all about bringing God's word. But it's all about the fact that Jesus told us to take authority over this world, to subdue it to Him. And He is serious about that. And to do that, we have to be able to reach sinners. And to do that, that means that He who is in us has to be greater than the things that are in the world around us. To do that, we have to be able to discern them first. We have to be able to walk in discernment. Now, I want to tell you what discernment is not. It's not suspicion. Okay? Suspicion is discernment through the eyes of fear. It's not judgmentalism. Oh, look at them. You know, the lost world acts that way because they're lost, okay? And Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. Now, judgment is coming. In this dispensation, He wants them saved. Okay? So, and discernment is not trying to figure out who the good people and the bad people are. It's discernment of spirits, spiritual realm. You want to walk in the spiritual realm. What is influencing the atmosphere? What is making this happen? That you have authority over, not the person. Do you understand? God wants the Spirit of God in you to rule the roost. I was always told growing up in the Lord that we were to be, let's see if I get this right, I always get it wrong. We were to be thermostats, not thermometers. Have y'all heard that? Everybody in my church has. Thermostats set the temperature, thermometers reflect it. But I always thought that meant you needed to have the strongest personality in the room or the loudest opinion. You know, I never got it. You know? They were the ones. But I get it now. The quietest person can be the thermostat. Because the Spirit of God radiates off of them. Jesus told His disciples, He goes, go into the village and let your peace remain on those who will receive you. He was talking about the transference of spirits, godly spirits. On those who would receive you, let your peace remain. Y'all can do that. Where you go, the Spirit of God in you wants to transfer onto people who may have no clue what they're feeling. I brought a guy to church once with me. He kept saying he was lost. He kept saying he was like one of those missionary dating things. He was kept saying, what is that I feel? What is that I feel? He felt God. And he didn't know what it was. It just... And God wants that to happen. He wants us to walk in a room and the people going, what do I feel? What is that aroma? I smell something. What is that? So I want to leave with y'all with that for two reasons. I want to leave it with you because I want you to be very aware of what God has done in your life, the very precious, precious work God has done in your life this weekend. It's so valuable. Guard it, protect it, defend it. Do not let the devil take back his territory. I want you to be very aware of it so that when you walk back into familiar situations, you don't think nothing happened. Because what you may be feeling is the atmosphere you're walking into, not you.
That's right.
I don't want you to walk back and think nothing happened. Okay? I want you to walk back and say, that isn't coming back on me again.
Amen.
Say no. I had that happen to me just this week, an old familiar feeling. It came back and I just looked at it and said no. I didn't find it, didn't do it. I mean, there's a time for warfare. I just said no. Because I could do that. Because of where God had put me.
Yes.
Just no. That's over. That's done with. That's not me anymore, and it ain't coming back.
Amen.
I want y'all to walk in that freedom. And I want to tell you something right now. That there is going to be a battle. When one atmosphere hits another atmosphere, you know what happens? A storm. So you can expect that there may be a storm. Be encouraged. Be encouraged. It means you're not getting back under that other atmosphere. There's a clash. And every knee must bow its knee. I mean, every knee must bow. You know what I'm saying. Tired. I've had the same amount of sleep y'all had. Who's the opposite? People need to know. People need to feel. The devil needs to bow his knee to the authority of Jesus Christ and the presence of God in your life and His presence on every one of you. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. I don't care how much you know. Guard, protect, defend the territory that you have taken in your own soul, and go out and take territory wherever you go. Ask God, cry out to Him for discernment, for wisdom, so that you can begin to be used like the children of this world to influence this culture. I am sick and I am tired of giving it to those people in Hollywood and in Los Angeles. Why is it that they use their gifts so effectively? And they have won the minds and the hearts of our children. They're not more gifted than we are. They're just better at using their talent for the devil than we are for the Lord. And we need to cry out that God would give us wisdom so that we can be the influencers of this generation. God makes me mad. It just makes me mad. Absolutely. And you can be bold. And bold doesn't mean you have to have a certain kind of personality. Bold means you're not afraid. You're not afraid of what's around you. And if you are afraid, just walk through it anyhow. Ignore it. Don't let fear dictate to you. You're going to feel things, people. You're going to feel it. Fear isn't just going to go, okay, I'll never bother you again. But you just can't let it rule you. You just can't. And lastly, I want y'all to pray about creative ways you can get outside of the clump or the box.
Amen.
Now, I've been praying about this myself and thinking about ways that I can put myself where I can influence people who need the influence, who aren't going to step inside of a church. And God's been giving us some ideas. We've all been really praying about ways that we can take the church out to the people who won't come into the church. Creative ways that I can be light wherever I go and have influence. We're looking for places of influence. So that we can influence what goes on in our city and our community, so that we can influence what goes on in the minds and the hearts of our children. So I just want to leave you with those things. I want to encourage you that God will give you every place you step your feet if you will walk in faith. All it takes is faith. And faith is what overcomes fear. You don't do it because it feels that way. You do it. It's just faith. Just faith. Don't worry about the way you feel. Don't let it rule you, okay? So let me pray. Lord, I thank you for the awesome work you've done. Thank you for the awesome work you've done in my life. I thank you for the upgrade I've received. God, I'm just so grateful to you. I thank you, Lord, for the way that you have worked in each woman's life here, and you have done something special in each life. Unique, different. But God, I cry out to you that the Spirit of the living God would rest. The mantle of authority and anointing and power would rest on each woman here, that they would know who they are. It's not about who's got the biggest circle of influence. It's not about who's got the biggest podium or the most people. It's about who uses their influence in the arena that you've given them. Who uses it for you to see you move and change. And if every one of us walked in that, we would begin to see this world change, Father. So, Father, I pray that you would make it clear that you have put us in specific spheres of influence on purpose, that that's our assignment, and that we are to be the influence there more than anything the devil is, whether it's an office, whether it's a family group, whether it's whatever it is, Jesus, that we are to rule from there. The influence that you've given us has to be the one that rules and not what the world and the devil want, Jesus. And I take authority over every voice of the devil, every familiar spirit here, and I bind you and I say, it's over. Your assignment is done. You will no longer rule. You will no longer reign over these women. They are through with you in Jesus' name. And I pray, Father, that you would specifically give each woman here a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of wisdom to know how to walk in influence wherever that you have put her, to walk in influence and to use their influence, to be encouraged, to not feel like that you're burdening them, that you have not called anyone here to save the world. You've called everyone here to stand up for righteousness, to stand up for Jesus Christ, and to not be intimidated by the world. You've called everyone here to use their influence to bring the love of God and the truth of His Word wherever He goes. I pray for creativity. I pray for much creativity on these women, that the gifts that you have given them could begin to be influential, like the gifts that these people Lord, that I hear on the radio. I pray that we would not think, I pray that we would not be afraid to get outside of the box, to use our gifts in different ways, to take risk, to try to do something different, to maybe enter a poetry contest, and we'd have the only godly poetry. But Lord, I pray it'd be creative. I pray it would be worthy. It would be the best poem there. Or whatever it is, whatever gifts you put inside of us, Lord Jesus, that you would give us creativity and use these for your influence, that we could express the wonders of our God to a world that is so lost right now. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.
Come back. We love you. We
appreciate you.
Bless the food. Bless the food. Bless Rick. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.